If you have your Bibles or the screen, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15 at this time. Luke 15. I like to read that first and then. Luke chapter 15. Hear God's inspired word. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I lost.' In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was given anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of man was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of his servants, and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found.'" Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We pray now, Father, as we look at it, that we will be able to apply this to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. What do the sheep, the coin, and the son have in common? They're lost. There's nothing hard to understand when we come to Luke chapter 15. In each case, We see Jesus telling us in these three parables that because they're lost, there is someone searching for the lost sheep and the lost coin. In the case of the lost son, who went away and rebelled on his own, the son comes to his senses and comes back to home and is found. You know, when someone or something is lost, the immediate response is to find whatever is lost. Have you ever lost something that you really needed? I have. What happens when you lose something like your keys? What do you do? If you're like me, you begin to talk to yourself, right? Well, I know I had them somewhere. Where was the last place I had them? You panic when they're not in the first place. And then you begin to trace your steps. Well, I had them in the kitchen. Maybe they were in the bedroom. And then you begin to second guess yourself. And then finally, you have to eat humble pie and you have to ask someone to help you find whatever you lost. In my case, and it baffles every time, it's my wife Marla. And immediately, she always seems to find the keys. Mission accomplished. I found my keys, so my panic goes away. My emotions calm down. All the way down, I'm rejoicing. I got my keys. In Luke chapter 15, we are told by Jesus in three parables that something or someone is lost. We can look deeper in these parables and see that Jesus is making a point. And that point is that we, his believers, are now members of his search and rescue team. And our mission is to go out into a lost world and tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is it so important to preach the gospel? We need to preach the gospel, for we live in a world that is lost and condemned to hell. We cannot ignore this truth in Scripture. For we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord know what it truly means to be lost and in complete darkness. Did you ever come into a dark room and you're looking for the light switch? You stumble sometimes. You might even trip over something. It just seems so uncomfortable to walk in the darkness, doesn't it? It just doesn't seem right. Well, that's how the world is without Jesus. That's how they look in Scripture. The lost people of the world are stumbling. Jesus tells us that he saw the world in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, as harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, and that is why he had compassion on them. We live, according to Colossians 1:13, in the dominion of darkness. But thank God that once we believed in Jesus Christ, the verse doesn't end right there, but we believe in Jesus Christ, we're translated into the kingdom of light. And because the world is lost, and people in the world are lost, people are restless, are searching for something more than just happiness in this life. What an opportunity that we have to preach the gospel to a searching world, knowing full well that what we have is what people in the world really need. The Lord Jesus Christ, who can fill any void that is in their hearts. For people today are ready and willing to believe in anything that some person comes up with in order to make money. Just look at all the psychics out there, right? They're telling people all kinds of predictions, looking at some cards or in your palm of your hand. The last time I checked, I don't know what these lines mean. But people believe it. People truly believe that. Look at the people who religiously follow their horoscopes, searching out for answers to life's questions. People are very superstitious, mainly because they have a real fear of the unknown. So they unfortunately do search out magic or sorcery. I've met some people like this. They search out magic or sorcery or witchcraft and even the occult for answers. Their superstition leads them to believe that bad luck will strike you if you walk under a ladder. Break a mirror and you'll have 7 years of bad luck. And what do? You got to get yourself a good luck charm, such as a rabbit's foot or a lucky coin or a locket. I even have to have some religious medals maybe. That might help me. Some people, when I was in the military, think that because I was a chaplain, that I was their good luck piece. So they always asked me to fly in their helicopters so they wouldn't crash. Go figure. I wasn't going to try that out too many times. People also have settled their hearts on everything imaginable, every cult imaginable, like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism. Why? Why? Because they're searching. They want something more than life than just happiness or whatever it is, because they're not satisfied. People have based their entire lives on the fact that in order to be at peace with God, they think that they have to do good works in order to be saved. They think that they really do think that if I'm a good person, God's going to love me and allow me into heaven. And we know from the scriptures that you can never be saved by your own good works, but by only trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. There are people out here in this rebellious, dark world who have searched and even settled on, and I have met some Satanists. I have met some Wiccan, study of witchcraft. In fact, when I in the hospital just recently, when I get my denomination list, there was a fella who put it on his list. He was a Wiccan. There are people out there that are doing all these things. People are searching in all the wrong places for something more in life. And there's a lot of restless people out there. You might think they aren't, but they are. Why are people restless? Why are they searching? Because they know in their heart of hearts that life is more than just getting up and going to work and coming home and getting up and going to work and so on. They're tired of the routine. They're not satisfied. They don't know what life is all about. They have no meaning and purpose to their lives. They try vacations for a way of escape. They try having a lot of money. Sadly to say, they go after even alcohol and drugs. The people we come in contact with in our schools, work, neighborhoods, if they do not have the truth of the gospel, they are not very happy people. They are restless, searching for more than life to life than the material possessions this world has to offer. And sometimes my Christian friends, they end up in some false religion or some psychic telling them all the wrong things. And strange as it seems, people are so desperate with how their lives are gone, they are ready and willing to believe in almost anything that this old world puts forth. The bottom line is this: where do we, as Christians, as believers, fit in this lost, dark world? Why are we here? We know what searching is all about. We who know the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we become involved in the lives of these people on a daily basis? The people you run into all the time, they're spiritually empty, looking for something more in their lives. People are lost. Do you truly believe this? We Christians need to be on the front lines telling people that their search is over when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And I believe there's a real urgency here to preach the gospel to those who are lost. Praise God that someone took the time to talk to you about Jesus Christ and did not wait. Now is the day of salvation, for there will be a day when it will be too late. We need to get down on our knees and ask our Heavenly Father each day for opportunities to share this wonderful message of our Savior. There are people out there that are ready and willing to hear and accept the message of Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit is already working in their hearts and minds, and we have that message. Jesus in Luke 15, in three different parables, tells us in three different scenarios about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Finding and searching for something that is lost is what our dear Lord and Savior have in mind in these three parables. So what is it in these three parables that Jesus wants us to know and apply to our lives? What is he teaching us? First of all, I believe he's teaching us that Jesus is teaching us that the world is lost. Second, I believe Jesus is teaching us about himself and the mission he and his Father have in sending him into a world that is lost. And third, Jesus is teaching us about what role does his people, the church, have in a world that is lost. So first of all, and as I've been talking about it, Jesus teaches us that the world is lost. As I have said before, but I really want to talk to you this morning that it would sink into your hearts and minds so that you do something about it. The world that you and I live is a dark world. And what does that mean? It means that when you pick up a newspaper And on the front page, you see someone killing a bunch of people. We should not be surprised. It means that when we see how the nations are raging at war with each other, we should be not amazed. It's a restless world. It's a dark world. It's a corrupt world. It's a rebellious world. We should know the people in this world, for we were once like the people of the world who were lost in rebellion against the very God who created us. What does Ephesians 2:1-3 state? As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, think about it, all of us, not one person in this room, all of us, one time gratified the cravings of our sinful desires, nature, and followed its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature, objects of God's wrath, of his wrath. The world, according to the Apostle Paul, says that the world is dead and follows after the god, small g, of this world, who is Satan. It's dead. It's not alive. The world is disobedient. The world is in rebellion to the true living God. The lost world in which we live is blinded by Satan, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, so that the world cannot see the light of the gospel. The lost world, according to Psalm 2, is raging, is restless, and is actively plotting against the Lord and his anointed one, Jesus Christ. Read Psalm 2. It opens up your eyes about what kind of world we live in. Have you envisioned the world as lost as Jesus is teaching us? Or have you been lulled to think that the world is just fine? People of God, we need to wake up. People in this world, from your family members to your coworkers to your neighbors and to your classmates, are lost and are condemned to everlasting hell and judgment. It's serious. If they do not believe and accept Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. Jesus cried over the lost city of Jerusalem, didn't he? Why? Because they did not want him to gather them up as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. They were not willing. No one seeks after righteousness. No one. Not one. No, not one. Romans chapter 3, a picture of the total depraved man. Mankind is totally depraved. Mankind is walking in darkness. We all need Jesus to rescue us out of the darkness and translate us into the kingdom of light. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son in our three parables represent the lost world. Second, Jesus teaches us about himself and the mission that he and his Father have in sending him into a world that is lost. What is the very first verse you learn when you first place your trust in Jesus Christ? I hope you say the call to worship, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What a tremendous verse of Scripture that we have, that God saw a lost, dark world, and he did something about it. He sent Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, down here to this earth to save us from our sins. And if we believe in him, we'll not perish but have everlasting life. Notice in the three parables that the sheep and the coin and the son are lost. But notice also that these three do not stay lost, but that each is found, and that there is much rejoicing over the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. In the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd has 100 sheep and loses one. He perseveres until he finds his lost sheep. And when he finds it, he puts it over his shoulders, goes home. He calls his friends and neighbors and asks them to rejoice with them. He has found his sheep. In the parable of the lost coin, the woman who has 10 coins and loses one goes forth diligently, lighting a lamp, sweeping the floor, searching carefully, until she finds that lost coin. She then rejoices and even goes out and tells her neighbors. In the parable of the lost son, his father allows him to go off into a distant land and squander all his inheritance. And then he receives him back when his lost son comes to his senses, and his father puts out the biggest and best party that part of the world has ever seen. Why? Because the son was dead, but now is alive. He was lost, but is now found. The shepherd and the woman and the father are pictured in our three parables as God loving a lost world. So he planned out the perfect salvation by sending forth his son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and die on the cross, shedding his blood, being buried, being dead, and risen again to defeat sin and death once and for all. That's the gospel. He is called out once. He comes to. His elect, he comes to and saves. And I want to turn back to Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. And I want to read it, but I want you to let these words sink deep down into your heart. But, right after we hear about total depravity, how we're dead, we're going to be alive in Christ. But because of his great love for us, let that sink in your heart. God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show what? The incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in what? His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God, in his mercy and his great love, because of his grace, made us who were dead in our trespasses and sins alive in Jesus. We did not deserve this at all. We were once blind, but now we can see. We were once chained, but now we're no longer a prisoner of our sinful natures, but now we're free in Christ. We are slaves to Christ. We are servants of Christ. It's just amazing to me that, think about it, you are dead completely. God didn't have to send his son here to this earth, but he did. And he sent his son into this earth. And what did his son do? He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. He died. He was buried and rose again. He defeated sin and death once and for all. He gave us life, eternal life. We have that now. We're dead, but now alive. What grace and mercy and love. And before I leave the second point, I want to mention something, especially in the case of the shepherd and the woman, about their diligence and perseverance in not stopping their search until they found the lost sheep and lost coin. They could have said, and I might have would have said this, I don't know, I have 99 sheep, what's one sheep? Or I have 9 silver coins, what's one coin? No, they were not concerned over the 99 sheep or the 9 coins, but that they were concerned about the lost sheep and the lost coin. They needed to be found, and they would not rest until they found them. This is how God in Scripture is in the Scripture in finding his lost sheep. And our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is called the Good and Chief Shepherd, came to seek and save those who were lost. He never lost sight of that mission. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, think about it. He went off as he walked around. Think about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Seeking her out. Talking to her. The people being amazed about Jesus. Just talking to a Samaritan woman. And he would take the time to do that. Because she was one of his chosen. And she came to believe. Or think of Zacchaeus, or think of other people in the Bible, and think of the lame, the blind, all those people he healed. He came to seek and save those who were lost. And what is really, truly amazing to me is this. Jesus Christ has given his church the great commission to carry out his work of seeking and saving the lost. We have that responsibility. We have the Great Commission. We need to get out into the lost world and talk to people about Jesus. We need to do it over and over again and ask God for opportunities. It's amazing to me that this is where we as Christians fit into what Jesus is teaching us in the three parables, my third point. What role does his people, the church, have in a lost world. Amazing as it seems to me, and I marvel at this, that God's plan is to use us sinners, as his instruments to preach the gospel to the lost. We are God's agents. We are his ambassadors between man and God, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 states. We are to reconcile the world to God through Jesus. Turning back to the passage in Ephesians 2, verse 10. Listen to what God has in mind for his people. Right after he tells us that we cannot even boast about our salvation, since it is God who saves us and not us. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are called by God to serve him by doing good works. Notice, we're not saved by good works, but one of the good works, once we are saved, I believe, is to become his witnesses as we go out, wherever we go, preaching the gospel as the Great Commission tells us to do. I really do believe, and I don't want you to take this lightly, I believe this is our number one goal in life, to share this wonderful gospel story with the people who are lost and destined to everlasting judgment. There's a real urgency here. We don't know when Jesus will come back. We need to be faithful witnesses of this glorious message Jesus saves. Put it this way, in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, this is what he says. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in all love I say to you, we are entrusted. We are given a trust with the gospel, given to us by our Heavenly Father to seek and save that which is lost. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, listen to what this passage says about Jesus and why he came into the world. And this is speaking about Zacchaeus. Remember the little man, the little song you know about? He climbed in the tree because he wanted to, in the sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. He was so curious. Jesus said this, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. As I said before, Jesus, I don't think ever lost track of what his mission was when he came here to this earth. We need to be as persistent as the shepherd and the woman in our parables to seek after the lost. What were the results of a found sheep and a found coin? Not only did the searchers rejoice by themselves, but they did it with others, including the father who forgave his son and welcomed him home. But there are other people rejoicing as well. In Luke 15:10, I think I marvel at this. We see the angels before the presence of God, rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. The angels are even interested in what we're doing here on this earth. And when one person comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, guess what happens? They're rejoicing. They're not rejoicing over the 99 sheep or the 9 silver coins or the son that did not leave the father. They rejoiced over the loss. And notice where Jesus was in the beginning. In this chapter, Luke 15, he's around tax collectors and sinners, people who truly were lost and needed to be found or saved. Jesus didn't spend a lot of time with those who thought they were righteous or found and did not repent, but he spent his time with sinners, those who knew they were not righteous, those who cried out to God, have mercy, for I am a sinner. For even the Pharisees and the teachers of the law criticized him. They mocked him. And we see it in the book of Matthew too. Because he welcomed sinners and even ate with them. Thank God that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, mingled with sinners and thus became our friend. Every day we should thank God for his rich salvation. You see, this is the whole point of this chapter when we see the very first verses in this chapter. He was trying to teach the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those people, the righteous people, that he's not here for them. He's here for the lost. That's why he gave them these three parables. And I think this too, I want to just put some practical application on this too. Remember, there's no greater feeling in your life when you see your children believe in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you see a coworker believe in Jesus Christ. Or a fellow student that you're going to school with believe in Jesus Christ because you told them the gospel. And you took the time and you spent time with them and just told them about Jesus Christ. You pray for them, and I know you have people in your families and other people who are lost and do not know Christ, but you pray for them. Continue to pray for them until the day you die, because you know God will answer your prayers. It might not be that they will come to know Christ, but you've been faithful in praying and witnessing to them all their lives. And ask them that the Holy Spirit would convict them of sin and use the gospel to bring them to Christ. You know, we should rejoice in God's loving mercy in our lives. And we should rejoice when we see someone come to know Christ as well. Remember that, you know, in this parable, there was a lot of rejoicing, wasn't there? A lot of joy, a lot of joy in these parables. We should never give up in our prayers for the lost and for those who are in our lives. So what's the bottom line? You don't have to look far in this world to see people who are lost. You don't have to look far. They're all around you. And they're searching for something more in life. And they're looking. And they're looking. Unfortunately, sometimes they stop their search at some false religion. We have the gospel message to change their lives in an instant. And we have to faithfully present the gospel to people. They're not going to believe if they don't hear. Think about that. Thank God someone intervened for you and me and told us the message of hope and love and mercy, which is found only in Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who lived a perfect sinless life. He then offered himself on the cross as our substitute for sin, and he shed his blood and died and buried and rose again to defeat sin and death once and for all. All you personally need to do is to confess your sin, is to repent and be sorry for your sin against the holy God, and believe in Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that complicated, but the end results, if you believe in Jesus Christ, is forgiveness of your sin, everlasting life, peace, an obedient life, not living for yourself, but for Jesus. The question I have for you this morning is, do you have this peace this morning? Are you restless? Are you somebody here that came and you're very restless? You don't know Jesus as your Savior. Is there a deep void in your life? If you are not 100% sure that you are a Christian, one who has repented and trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ, I would ask that you would believe on Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Let our merciful God fill your heart with Christ's redeeming love. I would invite you, if you really are wanting to believe in Christ, to talk to one of the elders. We would all love to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and rejoice with you as you come to believe in Jesus, even as the angels in heaven will be rejoicing as well. And Christians, are you excited about sharing this wonderful message, knowing that there is a lot of restless people out there in the world searching for the truth? We should not be surprised that they have followed the god of this world, Satan, like believing in psychics and all those other things in the world. But we need to light up our engines by the power of the Holy Spirit once again. And we need to get fired up in searching the world and talking to people about Jesus Christ. We only proclaim the gospel. God saves the soul. So realize this. People are searching and restless because God has made mankind restless if they do not have a relationship with their Creator and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. An empty void is created in all of us, so it leads us to search for the meaning of life. Only Jesus can fill that emptiness and purpose. Number two, mankind does not find God until God finds mankind. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who comes in an unbelieving heart that convicts people to even come to the Savior. We call it irresistible grace, which is really undeserved favor. We don't deserve it. Notice in the parable of the lost sheep, that is the shepherd who goes out and finds the one sheep which was lost. Jesus is the good and chief shepherd, and he calls out his elect, and he finds his sheep. God initiates and completes our salvation. All we can do is believe in our Savior. 1 John 4:10 states this: "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. God even gives us the faith to believe on Jesus Christ. And then third, we are God's instruments in the search. We are God's ambassadors living in a foreign land, representing King Jesus, as we see in 2 Corinthians 5:20, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to our family members, to our neighbors, to our fellow workers, to our schoolmates, to anyone. You could be standing in a grocery store line, and we're all stuck in the line. Turn around and talk to somebody about Jesus. Think about it. It's an opportunity. Just think and think about what God will lead you to do as you're led by the Spirit to talk to people about Jesus Christ. It's amazing that God, and it's amazing to me, that God uses us in the first place in building up his kingdom. He has entrusted us with the gospel, as 1 Thessalonians 2:4 states. Remember, when so many people are searching for God, let us be on the forefront telling them the truth of the glorious gospel. So let's be excited about sharing the gospel with others. Don't be fearful. You have the Almighty God on your side. You have the power of the Holy Spirit on your side. Don't be fearful. Go out and just talk to people about the Lord. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. There's a great need here in this lost world for the gospel to be preached. My prayer would be for all of us to ask God for opportunities to preach Christ every day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would challenge us with your word. We ask the Lord that you would help us to be more and more excited about what it means to truly be a believer and what we've been entrusted with the Great Commission, with the gospel. So help us, Lord, help our church to be more faithful and us to be more faithful to present the gospel to our community around us, to those people we work with, those people we go to school with, in our neighborhoods. We just pray that you would help us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our praise team will now lead us in the closing song, and we'll have the benediction. Please rise.